Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Having much to say, the Lord is talking to his people about very important things these days. Remember, at the last hour, the Lord deploys people that nobody would think would be ministers to help reap the harvest. See, the Lord always has a perfect plan. A lot of prayers went up about this. We all have loved ones that we care about, and people pray about people. When I think about the rapture, I think about the dividing line of God, only taking his people up to live forever that were ready to go. And I think about people who were deceived, people who got in rebellion, and they become rebellious through the lust of their ways and through pride and through plain old deception, not knowing what it's going to do to them. And more the Lord is giving greater warnings. And, you know, I get more revelation about what's going to happen. More people are having visions, and more people are being transported to hell and to heaven so that people can make a sober choice. Now, salvation is of the heart. You got to believe from the heart. You got to believe from the heart. That's when your faith works, from the heart. Not the mind, not the body, not the brain, from the heart. Repeating word and your heart is not in it, won't work. Repeating a sinner's prayer and your heart is not in it, it won't work. It has to be from the heart. And some people do this. They'll say it without it being from the heart. But voicing salvation, it gets in the heart. When you get to the point where you mean it, that's when you're born again. That's why people have varied experiences. Some people mean it. Sometimes people they receive the word to the point that the word of God grows roots in them. And they don't want to be ever without God, and they love God. And the roots grow deeper. And when pressure comes, they stick with God. See, some people, they casually get saved because that's the thing to do. That's what people expect. And then they kind of live like they want to. And they do what they want to. And they enjoy what they want to do. They're different. Then their heart's not in it. And if a person's heart's not in it, that's all Satan needs. When people's hearts are not in it, he can tell. Not that he's a genius, but he tempts people until they yield. He don't know how deep the roots are, but he works at people until they yield or until they run him off. One of the two. He watches to see what you'll fall for. He uses, just like an old crafty fisherman, he tried different sorts of bait. He waits you out. He watches until he gets what he wants, or he gets driven off. And Satan, he doesn't like to be embarrassed. He's got a lot of pride. When you win, he gets away. He don't want to bother you. He can't look good around a person that won't fall. If he can't get something over on you, he'll leave because he don't look good anymore. See, heaven's watching all of this. We're on display, basically. God's creation can see what's going on. The planet is round. We live on the surface. And they can see what's happening. Whatever you do is known. It's recorded. So when you follow God, you defeat the enemy, and he can't handle it. He'll leave you alone because he don't know what to do. But he's trying to figure it out. You know, when I used to be an Amway salesman, they said, get everybody you know, show them the plan. And they'll either join or they'll buy from you. That's the goal. Well, you have to ask everybody. You have to, you know, work the field, so to speak. Well, Satan is very motivated to destroy mankind. He couldn't stop Jesus. He could do nothing with Jesus, and those who follow Jesus, he can't do nothing with them either. If he can't get a child to sin, he, you know, that's embarrassing in his network. But if you won't turn, there's nothing he can do about it. So these things are the things of God are true and faithful. If you follow God, you win. I mean, it's just that simple. If you don't, if you drive, Jesus got rid of sin for us, and we can. All we have to do is stay out of it. All the things that would cause us to fall, we can drive it out of our lives. We don't have to have the wrong things in our heart anymore. We can have good things in our heart from now on. We can fill our heart with the Word of God. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And that's a true fact. That's the easiest way to stand. When I was going to church all my life, the preachers would tell you not to sin and try to get you not to sin, try to scare you out of sin. None of that worked. They tell you not to sin, which is, if you want to sin, you got a bigger problem. If you desire to sin in the first place, you got a huge problem. But they didn't really tell you how to drive it out of your life. But the book of Judges does. Joshua told you how to get rid of what you don't want. Don't compromise. Don't make deals with it. Drive it out. This is our representation of dealing with the problems of sin. You drive it out of your heart. You drive it out of your life. You don't have to have it anymore. You use the provisions that God has given. And you drive it out. Easy. And you fill your heart with the love of God, and you're not going to want it. See, the love of God, it helps you change as well. The more you love people and the more you love God, the more you will detest the things that's wrong. Now, Lot was living in Sodom, and he's an Old Testament Christian. Don't tell me a New Testament Christian has to fold under sin. He lived in Sodom. And he didn't yield to it. And the place vexed his spirit. He had resilience against evil. And he wasn't even washed in the blood yet. But when you believe God, you're considered righteous. You're accounted righteous. And the Lord can work with you. When you have that kind of sincerity, you move heaven wherever you go. So if a man is washed in the blood, Jesus has destroyed the sins in his life, freed him from it, and made him brand new. He don't have to. You're just like Adam when you believe on Christ from the heart. So now you can drive the things that hold you back. All the doubts, the fears, worldly attachments, the weights and the sin that so easily beset, those things can be driven away. I'm sorry that people didn't tell you how to do it decades ago, but people didn't know how. They taught what they knew. I learned these things from going in the Lord's presence and asking questions and studying and filling my heart with the Word, like I'm saying. That's how I found out about how you. It's easier to live if you drive those things out of your system. Your habit system can be healed. You don't have to react to the things of the world. You don't have to do what your predecessors did, the people you looked up to. See, we don't just follow our parents, we follow our predecessors, people we look to, friends, other grown people. You know, if you look to somebody and you look up to somebody and they do, they act half worldly, then it gets into your habit system. And then now the word tell you not to do it that way anymore, and you got conflict. So I had to deal with my habit system after I got saved. I had to work out my own salvation. See, we can judge good and evil. That's not the problem. We know what's right, we know what's wrong. But the problem is, if you're in the habit of doing something and that's your way, now you got to figure out how to do what God is saying to do and drive out the old way that He said don't do, or the things that hold you back. Sometimes people come from doubtful parents, or a doubtful surrounding, a doubtful neighborhood. They just didn't believe nothing. It was hard for them to believe that they could succeed. It was hard for them to believe that something good could happen for them. So when you study about the promises of God, believing those promises is a challenge. And you can spend a great portion of your life trying to overcome doubt, because that was your culture. And I've seen families that way. They were sweet people, but they always had a problem with doubt. And you can't live beyond your vision. If you really believe you can't succeed, and you do succeed, and you do make much money, you'll mess it up, because you believe you can't have it. See, fear, it works just like faith. Whatever you fear, you will do it. Fear will drive you to do what you fear, and you'll have what you fear. But all those things, I'm saying this for a reason. It can be eliminated. You don't have to live with old doubts and old fears and old unbelief habits. You don't have to live with sin habits. You don't have to live with any habit. You don't have to live with any addiction. You can learn restraint, just like you can learn righteousness. See, we receive righteousness, then we believe it, then we act on it, then we learn it, in that order. We receive the Word of God, and it starts helping us. It starts a cleansing process. Then we believe it, then we act on it. That's faith. And then it produces fruit in our lives, and then we learn. We grow from glory to glory. We change. And we do this publicly. Because wherever you go every day, wherever you're continually growing, you're doing a little better and a little better. After a while, the demonic things start falling off your life as you fill your heart with the Word. I don't study to memorize and learn and as much as I do to heal from the inside out. When I heal from the inside out, things change, and I don't really realize it. A lot of things are changing in me, and I'm not always aware of it. My taste for things change. And then I found out about confessions. You can profess the Word. You can speak what you desire in your life. And you can speak things that you don't want out of your life. So I like to, if I want it, I say it. I want to cooperate with God, because if I do that, He'll make the difference. I won't be contrary, and He will help me grow from glory to glory in ways I need to and that I don't know I need to. So I confess that I will do all that's in His heart, because I trust Him. This enforces my trust in Him. So when he speak, I'll act. There won't be a delay, you know. My car has a turbo. Now, older cars that had turbos, that was a lag. It didn't have a quick response. They've done more to master that lag, turbo lag. The way a turbo works is the pressure from the exhaust coming out of the ports of the cylinder head, it turns a wheel, a rotor, and it's connected to another one that sucks air. And it forces air inside the intake. And the more air you have, the more power you have. Well, before the intake rotor can force air in, it has to be driven by the exhaust rotor, or turbo. Turbo's a rotor. And when that happens, the motor has to put, it has to turn to turn higher RPMs for this to work right. So there could be a lag, there's a lag there. But well, now, when the Lord speaks, I don't want to have a lag. I don't want to be going through the process of getting my mind and heart right. I want it to be right. And I want to be able to act as fast as possible. Because some visitations require it. Just like Rebecca, she made a choice. When the stranger came and wanted to take her to get married, she didn't have turbo lag. She was ready. This was her visitation, a once in a lifetime deal. And her father said she could go. So she had the father's blessing. And then the mother and the brother tried to get her to stay 10 more days, because it was already decided. But the man said, no, don't hinder me. I got to go back. And then they said, well, let's let the damsel decide. Now it's down to Rebecca. Now she got to make. She would have went just because her daddy said go. But now it's down to her. And I believe the Lord arranges so that it could be by her faith. Because God wants sincere. He's looking for sincerity. And people that have faith in their heart are sincere. They are sincere. If you say yes, you're sincere. If you say no, you're not. It's that simple. And you don't want to miss a visitation. They don't come by often. They can, but they, in most cases, they don't. And in order not to miss a visitation, and in these days, it's going to be very important. Whatever the Lord tells me to do, I need to be on board when He says. So I speak that I will do all that's in His heart. Because the Lord can tell you to do some things that you're not familiar with. And it's good. You can tell, it's detectable that it's holy and it's pure and it's full of love. And it's full of wisdom. All those three things are detectable. But your apprehensions come because you didn't process. You're not. This is unknown territory to you. Because I've had visitations where I hesitated too long. And the Lord would make it better. But I know for a fact that one day it's going to be now or never. So I use preparation. Then the things that there are weights and sins you may not be aware of. Habits that you take lightly. So I started speaking that everything that's not like Jesus got to go. See, repentance don't, you know, it's a lifestyle change. Everything that's not like God got to go. And it works. I find myself doing things better, making better choices, taking the high road more frequently, and I'm more apt to take the high road, to do the scriptural things, to put myself in better advantages, to make better financial. It got into my finances. I'm able to save more money. I'm not as wasteful. A lot of things have changed. I make better purchases to speed me up. I buy better tools. a lot of things, it helps the life of God works. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. As we go forward doing his word, we grow from glory to glory like we're supposed to, and we become just like him. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.